guys, Yoni hates when I intro the pod. Because...
You know why I hate when you intro the podcast?
Why?
Because you always do this weird voice that it's like, hello, how are you guys doing? It's like, no, just talk.
Okay, so what's up, you guys? Welcome back. Do you want me to just say that?
I like that.
That's
deep
so, like,
voice.
Boring. What's up, you guys?
No, this is how we should start the podcast. What's up, everybody? My name is Yoni Koto, and I'm here with the host, Aliu Zaitzer.
Okay, so we're going to restart.
Yeah, for sure. No, let's just keep it. Okay, so how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm doing well. I love recording early in the morning.
I forget that it's not even 10.
It actually is 10:06.
Okay, it just turned 10.
Yeah, no, I love recording in the morning.
It feels like it's like 3 p.m.
It feels like we're getting shit done. We're getting things off the to-do list crossed off.
And the podcast is probably the biggest thing.
Yeah, the podcast is like anytime we have to record the podcast, you know, I love it, but it hangs over me like a brick, like a pound of bricks, you know, and I'm just carrying it with me all day. Everything that I'm doing, I feel like I can't enjoy it because the bricks are stabbing my back.
Stupid.
But yeah, we're over here. It's a beautiful Wednesday.
It is beautiful Wednesday.
New York is still looking like it's fall. It's hot, but we haven't seen the sun in a minute.
Sadly. Can you tell us a little bit about this subtropical thing that's happening?
Yeah, so New York now has been... I feel like I've talked about this before.
No, you talked about that on Patreon.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So New York is officially now considered a moderate subtropical... Oh, no, humid subtropical climate, which means that we're having milder winters and much more humid and wet summers, meaning that we're going to have a lot more rain in the summer and it's going to be very humid. It's going to be still very hot. And in the wintertime, it's not going to be as cold as previous years, which sucks because like in the summer now, like we've only lived here technically through 2 summers. This is our 3rd summer in New York. And it's really not not satisfying.
It's not.
It's like it's always cloudy.
Yeah.
There's a thunderstorm like every night.
Not every night.
Okay, not every night. Okay. Sorry.
You're exaggerating,
I'm like, there was no thunderstorm last night. It was actually a lovely night last night. I went to my friend's little event that she was hosting and got to be a bit social and talk to the people. You are right when... You said to me like the other day that I should stop calling myself not a social person.
Because
I feel like I just kept telling myself that I'm like, oh, I'm an introvert.
No, because you just wanted to sound cool.
No, it's not that.
You wanted to be that cool introverted girl.
It's because I do get social anxiety. So I always associate like, oh, if someone doesn't get social anxiety over going to like
I want
to
talk about social anxiety one time because you don't have social anxiety.
Social
anxiety is something different.
Okay, it's not.
Like just because you feel a little nervous, that's not social anxiety. Like you don't have that. Like you just need someone to like maybe talk to you first and then you get the ball rolling. That's not social anxiety. Social anxiety, to be honest, I don't even know what that is exactly, but I know it's not
okay,
that.
I mean, it might not be like to the highest degree, but I feel anxious over going to a place where I'm going to have to like mingle and do small talk and like enter conversations.
But is that really what social anxiety, I know what social anxiety means, but I feel like it needs to be a little bit more serious than what you have.
Okay, so
you're
have
just a little nervous.
Nervousness.
You got like a little like butterfly.
Yeah, I just get like a little nervous about going into these places because I'm like, okay, who am I going to know there? And like, I don't want to say nothing stupid. I don't want to like laugh too much.
Wait,
like,
do you think about that? You don't want to say nothing stupid? That's so funny.
I mean, yeah.
Why don't I ever think about that?
I don't know.
No, you know you.
Because I'd be saying stupid shit.
And the only reason is so like, it's so innocent, you know, because if you ever say something that's like, quote unquote, not stupid,
like,
but
just
like
a little out of
silly
pocket.
Or maybe like something that you shouldn't say in that setting, this only happens to you because you want to break the ice, you know?
Yeah.
So you would just throw some shit at the wall.
Yeah. And then sometimes like,
if I'm standing there next to Ali, I'll look at her like, what?
Okay. I mean, I would want to clarify that I don't say like anything crazy.
Nothing crazy, but like she would make a joke. And then it's like, I don't know. It's yeah, so cute.
It's hard. Sometimes I get caught up in the moment and I just like shoot the shit, you know? But today we're here to talk about Copenhagen.
CPH, you guys.
I wonder if people that are from Copenhagen like hate when people write like CPH instead of Copenhagen. It's just Copenhagen is like a long word to write.
You know? I guess so.
CPH,
I don't know.
Just is like, ooh, CPH. But nobody actually says that, I don't think. Like, bro, you ever been to CPH?
That's no, crazy. What the hell? Nobody ever says that.
But we were in Copenhagen for 4 full days. And we have a few things we want to talk about. Some impressions, some thoughts. I'll let you take it away first.
Okay. So first of all, I don't know why, but for some reason, I never thought I would go to Copenhagen. Just like I almost didn't really know
why we were going.
No. Like I did know, and I'm always excited to go to new places.
Yeah.
But it's not a place that I thought I would go now. I didn't think I would.
It just
be
wasn't
there
a place
now.
That you were thinking it's like on the list of places you want to go.
Yes.
Yeah. I get that.
That's fair.
That's totally fair,
right?
And
so
this was like technically sort of a birthday trip for me.
It was.
You know, it's like it was mostly like I wanted to go to these places and then that's where we went.
Yeah. So, and I was definitely happy to visit a new place. Obviously, I love traveling. So I'm always down. Obviously, I'm not going to be like, oh, no, I don't want to go there.
But you kind of kept expressing to me that you were like, I don't know what is in Copenhagen.
Yeah, I didn't. I wasn't sure, you know. So anyways, we get there and first thing I'm noticing.
Well, we got there at night. So.
Well, we got there at night. So I'm talking about the next day, right?
Oh, okay.
When I'm able to notice things.
Okay.
So I don't want to jump ahead in the story.
Yeah, you're jumping way ahead. I know exactly where Yoni's going right now.
But wait, do you?
Yeah, of course.
We were trying to get the Ubers, the two-wheel Uber, right? The city bikes.
You just call it a Lime bike. Why you call it so many different things.
Because I use the Uber app.
Yeah, but it's a Lime bike through the Uber app.
Okay.
Just call it the Lime bike.
The Lime bike, right? The green bikes. And obviously, we got them on the first day. And we're getting on the bike lanes. And as we're riding the bike lanes around the city, I'm just noticing how wide they are.
Mm-hmm.
It's like me and you can be on the bike lane next to each other.
Yeah.
And someone else would still have space to pass us.
Yeah.
That's how why it's kind of like if you're looking at a car lane, that's
a car
how,
could drive on the bike lane for sure.
Yeah, a car could definitely be on the bike lane.
I mean, I would
lane.
Say like the bike lanes, the width changes depending on where you go. Like they're not always as wide.
But most of the time they are wide.
Yeah. And what I loved about
like,
the
they
bike
were
lanes.
So, they were so wide that at some point I was just like, damn, am I on a bike lane?
Yeah, that's true. And what's funny is I really appreciated the fact that the bike lanes were raised like off the main road. So they were kind of how like sidewalks usually are like higher in level compared to where the cars drive.
Oh, yeah.
So in New York, and I feel like in most US cities, the bike lanes, if there are any, are going to be on the same level as the cars. There's just going to be like drawings of like where the bike lane is, but there's no actual like separation. Like someone can easily like drive into the bike lane or stop and park in the bike lane.
Yeah.
But in Copenhagen, there's no way to really do that as a car because it's just like not on the same level as you. So as the biker, like you feel so much more safe.
You do.
Then you feel like you are actually given like a safe place to just be. And there's enough space for the bike lane and for the pedestrians to walk on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
You know? So somehow it's like everything there is made so wide.
Because the pedestrians also got their own lane.
Exactly.
And it's much smaller than the bike lane.
And it's just, it's so good because that's also, it encourages people to bike more, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Which also then lowers the amount of cars that are on the street. So there isn't that much traffic.
It would make sense.
I wouldn't say that we ever saw like a lot of traffic.
Yeah, everybody's biking there. Like,
if you think about it, to like New York.
Yeah.
You know?
There was like, do you remember when we saw these bike, not the Lime bikes, but just like the personal bikes, that parking lot? It's just like full it seems like there's like 1,000 bikes there.
No, there probably is. Like, there's definitely more bikes than cars.
Yeah, of course.
100%. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense, right?
Yeah, I think that was one of the things that I really, really appreciated about Copenhagen is very, very
it's like
much
truly
of a bike-friendly city. You
I think
can
it's
bike
a definition.
Anywhere.
It's a definition of a bike-friendly city.
I think it might be my favorite city to bike in.
Yeah. Because you're just like, biking is encouraged. It's like the best way to actually get around, you know?
Yeah.
I would say the one thing that we didn't know until later when somebody told us is that the bikes that we were renting scream tourist.
Oh, yeah.
Scream, you are not from here.
Yeah, and you do not live here. And this is probably your first time here.
Yeah, because the Lime bikes are the most touristy ones that people use. If you are a local, you will have your own bike.
Or there's another one.
Or you will use the orange ones. There's like a bunch of different, there's like the Lime bikes, then there was like blue ones, and then I think there was orange ones.
I mean, what's the difference?
It's just different companies.
Okay.
And if you're a local, I guess like they only use the orange ones. And another thing to that too is that it's kind of like the locals usually hate seeing somebody on the tourist bike, as in the Lime bikes, because it's automatically like, oh, this is a tourist. They don't know they don't know how to like get around. They don't know the rules of the bike, which I would say we did a pretty good job. Like, nobody ever really got like mad at us or we were in their way or anything like that.
But why are people always hating on tourists?
I mean, I would say like even in New York, sometimes like you see tourists, you know, right away they're going to walk hella slow, like get out of my way, you know? They're going to walk hella slow, or they're going to like stop in the middle of the subway, like while you're exiting, and like look at their map. It's like they don't know like common things that you just.
The worst thing in New York is when people are just standing on the bike lane.
Oh, and that too.
Oh my.
But also sometimes people that live here be doing that.
Yeah, it's like, what are you doing?
And I'm just like, clink, 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 get out of the way.
That is the most.
It's so satisfying.
Yeah, it's more, and I don't care.
Yeah, or I do that, and then when they don't move, right? So I still, obviously, I don't hit them, and I go, like, around them. This happened, like, literally yesterday.
You have to say, bike lane. You have to, like, scream
at
them.
Yeah, no, I say that. I'm like, no, I actually didn't even scream it. I just was, like, passing quite slowly, like, next to this woman, because I wanted to make sure that, like, if she moves, I have time to, like, adjust.
Mm-hmm.
But I was using the bell and she just was not there.
And she wasn't responding.
It wasn't clocking at all. And then I was like, bike lane, and I moved by.
Was it satisfying?
It was very satisfying.
Because
also, like, you don't have to stand in the middle of the street. Like, you can still cross from the crosswalk.
Yeah,
the crosswalk from the pedestrian walkway, you know.
You're much nicer. I mean, me, I'd be like, bike lane, and then they'll be like, oh, sorry.
Yeah. I feel like by the time it would have been like more of an accident if I would have screamed, because she would have been frazzled. You know, at least she was just standing there and I was just like, bike lane.
But sometimes people don't hear it. Like, it's so weird.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, they have headphones.
I would ring.
Too.
No, even without headphones, like, I would ring that bell so loud and they're just standing right there because they're just like maybe talking to someone.
Yeah.
I'm just like, how can you not? Like, how is that not just like.
Now it's become such second nature. Like, anytime I cross anywhere, I'm always looking at the bike lane. Always. Because people here, like, with the bikes too, are crazy. And another thing I was going to say is, like, in New York, I only ride e-bikes. Because it just makes sense. It's faster. If you're, like, trying to, like, cross a bridge or something.
Oh, my goodness.
You cannot do that with, like, you can. But I'm not trying to, like, get a workout. And I'm trying to just go from point A to point B.
It's a workout for sure. Now, for me, with the membership that I have, I think I'm going to use the regular bikes a little bit more because it's free.
Okay.
Like, literally free. Like, for the first 45 minutes of my ride.
And it's free to unlock, too?
Yeah, it's free. I only get charged 20 cents or 22 cents per minute after 45 minutes of riding. But how many times do I ride for 45 minutes?
Yeah, never.
Exactly. So when I take like this little, like these small distances and stuff like
that. The only thing is that if you're in Brooklyn, you don't know when you're going to get hit with the hill. In Manhattan, it's always mostly flat. But in Brooklyn, like even in our neighborhood, it's like you don't know. Sometimes you turn a corner and it's like it's slightly uphill, but you might not feel it on like a regular, like an e-bike. because you just don't feel it because you're on the e-bike. Like, it helps you. But if you're on a regular bike, you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
But I say that to say that when we went to Copenhagen.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Lime bikes are all e-bikes. So that's like what I ride all the time. So I was like, oh, this is perfect. Like, I don't have to deal with like the regular bike, whatever. But apparently, on top of the fact that they can tell that you're a tourist and that they always assume like that apparently you don't know like the because the bikes are like part of traffic. So it's kind of like you don't know how to drive. Like, they just assume that like you never drive here, you never bike here. So you don't know like what the rules are. But I would feel like they're pretty straightforward, you know, like you just follow the traffic rules. But I think it's when it comes to like turning to the left or doing like arm signals of like when you're going to stop or where you're going to turn, which is shit that I can't do because I can't bike with one hand. So I'm sorry, like I'm not going to raise. It's more dangerous for me to like take a hand off my bike than for me to just not signal at all. That's just the fact.
That's so funny. No. Well, at first I was trying to figure out what it means when they just raise their hand. And I kept thinking that it means
turning.
I'm turning this way or I'm turning that way. But then that just means I'm about to stop.
Yeah, which is
smart. In New York, you just stop.
Yeah, but I hate that.
It's crazy. Yeah, I know.
It was also yesterday when like this lady was like stopping, but she didn't like signal. She didn't do anything. And I'm just like, bro, like, what are you doing?
I mean, how could she signal for you to understand that? Because there's no rule here. Like, how?
Yeah, there's no rule here, but she could have like pulled to the side. She was like in the center.
Nah, that's stopping. That's when I ring that bell.
Yeah. But apparently people in Copenhagen also hate people that are on e-bikes because it's kind of like you're cheating.
Oh, I don't care about that. I don't care about
cheating,
that.
Like you're not really like cycling like a real cycler.
Oh my, that's
but the
extra
funny
shit.
Thing is, the funny thing is like in New York, everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people have e-bikes, like especially the delivery people, because they be on that bike all day. Like they're not trying to just bike for real all day, you know?
Yeah, imagine.
So e-bikes are quite common here, and especially
you gotta
because
pay me more
so many people use the city bikes.
Yeah.
When we went to Copenhagen, I wasn't thinking anything.
I don't care if they think I was cheating. What does that mean? Cheating what?
Cheating, like, because then you, like, pass them and then they feel some type of way about it. It's like, bro, I'm just going faster than you. Like, it's not my fault that you have a regular bike.
Yeah. Okay, tell us a little bit how you felt about the brakes on the bikes.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Zalia had a little problem.
So, I actually do want to talk more about these bikes. Yeah, so the Lime bike, some pros, right? I love the fact that it has a built-in phone holder because then, if you're in a new city, it actually makes so much sense that that's like the tourist bike too, because they just assume like these people don't know where they're going. So let us give them a place to put their phone so they can like see the directions.
Yeah, it was very convenient.
So convenient. So I love that. That's something that everybody
should York,
take notes.
No, we should do that here.
Yeah.
Here I'd be having like my GPS in one hand and I'm biking. It's like,
that's what I'm saying. I just have to memorize. I literally, before I go somewhere, I'm like, okay, right on this, left on this, left on that, right on this. And then I put my phone in and I'm like, let's hope I remember what the fuck I have to do. It's either that or you have to get one of those sticky things on your phone so you can like stick it to the bike.
It's not
but
convenient.
Sometimes it falls.
Yeah, it's not convenient. We gotta do something about
that. Yeah, I gotta reach out. So I loved that.
You gotta reach out to who?
To the city bike people. Just let them know what's up. I love that. And I also love that the basket of the Lime bikes was deep. So you could like put a lot of stuff in there and it's very unlikely it's gonna fall out.
there's no way for it to fall out. Yeah. It's so deep in there.
You can put like so much just stuff in there. You can put your water bottle in there. You just know it's going to stay there. It might dangle around and shit, but like it'll be good. Yeah. Because the city bikes that we use in New York, the basket is like flat.
Not flat, but no, it doesn't. Flat. It's not deep. It's like if you put something in there,
you have to hook it up with the thing. It's like this little like cord that you have to hook, and like it holds down your shit. But I'm like, why didn't we just do like a regular, like an actual basket that's deep?
Yeah.
It makes so much more sense.
Yeah.
So love that. But one thing I did not like was that the brakes were like, they were like, I don't even know how to express it, but because I had small hands, it was very hard for me to reach.
Why did
the
you
brakes.
Say because I had small hands?
Because I have small hands. It's just, it was hard for me to like hold the,
hold the handle and reach the brake.
Yeah.
Like your finger couldn't get because
it wasn't
you
like.
You could touch the brake, but to actually brake, you got to get your finger got to wrap the brake a little bit.
It's that. And also they were like low. They weren't like straight parallel to the ground. They were almost like under the handle.
So
then I would have to like kind of break my wrist to like hold it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That was uncomfortable. But overall, great bikes. Other than the brakes, I loved it. They were so much lighter. They made like no sound. Like every time you like would bike over one of those like sewer like round things, mm-hmm. you know, or like maybe there was some weird like fissure in the ground or whatever, like it wouldn't be like.
No, everything was beautiful. I mean, just I feel like that was a great way to just explore the city and see what's there. You know, I love all the water that there's in the city too.
The canals, the
rivers. The water looked clean, right?
Yeah, the water was clean. We didn't end up getting into the water. I really wanted to. I had this whole picturesque like idea in my mind that we would, you know, do a nice little like canal swim and then we would go get breakfast. Yeah, none of that happened. One, because someone told me there are jellyfish in the water and that just did it for me.
And we saw them too.
And I was like, hail to the no. And also when we finally like made the time to be by the water, it wasn't like hot enough to
go
in
the
water.
Day we went
And like sat by the, it was our last day.
Yeah.
That we went and sat like on one of those docks that are everywhere. And that's like one thing that I love.
So many people there.
It's always just like accessible. And it's, I kind of prefer that to like a sandy beach. It's obviously very different. And like, I do love a beach, like a natural, you know, beach. But it's really nice to be able to like get in the water somewhere, and then like when you get out there isn't sand and you can like sit comfortably and it's like clean, and because it's like a dock, you know.
I really
like that.
That day was really, really fun, and I believe I took one of my favorite summer photos.
Oh, I know which one.
Of these kids, they were like jumping into the water.
Yeah.
And I was taking photos of them, so I think
these kids as in teenage boys.
Yeah. Oh, I feel like those are like definitely top three favorite summers. Photos I took this summer.
It just captures such a specific like energy and like characters. And it's really good.
Yeah, there was a lot of people there. I will say though, out of 1,000 people, I was the only Black person there.
Yeah, there was not a lot of diversity.
And you know, at first I didn't even notice it.
Especially compared to like Portugal when we were in Lisbon. I was surprised how much diversity was there.
No, at first I didn't notice it. But then there was a moment I just looked around and I was like, wait. No, it just, because at first I really didn't know, because that's not something I walk around thinking.
How many
Black people are, I'm just living my life.
Yeah, no, that's good.
You know?
No, I noticed it too. I think I said it to you. I was like, I'm like, there's no Black people around here.
Yeah, exactly.
And what's funny, then after that, there was one that came.
Yeah,
and
no, like, oh. There was one that came. I always wanted to just clap and be like there. But yeah, it was pretty funny. But and then I kept thinking like, so are there just like not a lot of Black people here, or is it, do they just not come to this area to tan?
Oh yeah,
like I don't know.
Like, what if there's like a place where like they go specifically. That is more like the community goes there, you know?
I don't know, but I wanted to find that shit. But anyways, so that was one thing I noticed. But I mean, I don't get like bothered by this shit. You know, I was just like doing my thing, taking photos, hanging out, reading my book. Not reading my book. You were reading your book.
No, I was doing Sudoku.
Oh, Sudoku.
Yeah, Copenhagen was me finding my Sudoku love because we took this train to go to the Louisiana Museum. We heard so many things about this place. I heard a lot of good things about this museum from a girl that I went on a retreat with right before this trip when I wasn't still in Portugal. And it was really nice, like taking just an hour or so. No, it wasn't even an hour. It was like maybe 30-minute train ride. And I have been looking for like a Sudoku book because my grandma growing up, she used to do Sudoku all the time. And I'm just out here looking for more like analog entertainment. You know, like I got my book, I got my journal, I have cards with me all the time. And I just like, I don't know.
The other day I was emptying your bag and you had two decks of cards in it. Why?
I got two decks of cards because the card game that I like to play, which my friend Carolina taught us, called Scoop. Depending on how many people you're with, usually if there's more than two people, you want two decks of cards. So I forget where we were going. Oh, I think when we hung out with Ray, like on Saturday night, I didn't know like what we were going to get up to. So I was like, let me bring the cards, you know. It's always good. Like, you don't know when you're just hanging out and you're like, damn, you guys want to play cards?
We've been playing cards lately.
Yeah.
Which I like.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I just want to do more. I want to have a big enough bag with me all the time where I can have my book, I can have my journal, I can have my Sudoku, I can have my headphones, two decks of cards, all my like things to write with. And like, I have that on me all the time. Because that way it's like wherever you end up in your day, you can always like go to a coffee shop, get a little wine, hang out with somebody, play cards. Like, it's just, it adds to...
I want to go to a coffee shop here in New York and just play cards.
Yeah, we can do that. We can go to a little wine bar.
I do feel like we got to find a better game.
I love that game.
No. I'm not saying that game is not good, but...
It's good when you play
with
more people.
It's not that fun.
Yeah, that's true.
And it ends pretty quickly. And then if the cards are not shuffled right, it's like the game is over after two moves.
Yeah, it kind of feels that way. Yeah, we can like explore our card games. But I love taking a train run. And I want to ask you, what did you think about the museum? Yoni's not a huge museum person.
I'm not. I don't know why. Well, it depends. Photography museum, obviously, I will be in there all day.
Right. What about like a nature museum?
Nature museum?
I feel like you can get into nature museum a little bit.
Nature museum. I mean, I don't know what's presented.
Animals, but they're not like alive.
So this one was like a design museum.
This was an art museum. Modern art.
Modern art, yeah. Which I loved. And I haven't been... Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm not.
Oh, okay. No, I loved it. I think it was so cool. It was amazing. There were some certain things that I was like, why is this
here
presented in this beautiful museum on the wall? And it's just like a line.
Like a leaf.
Yeah, it was like something. But see, this is what I was trying to figure out. It was a picture of like... I don't know if it was with a pencil, but someone just like the artist drew like three lines on the paper.
Yeah.
And they were kind of like not just really straight lines, but it was just like random lines, right? And you think in your head, like, this is something so simple. What does everyone think, right? Oh, I can do it too. So I'm trying to
figure
out.
And then you read the description too. And it feels like the description is trying to pull like meaning out of nothing.
Yeah, meaning out of nothing. And this line is this and this person did that. And then there's another thing where it's just like a huge piece that's just like a blue color. It was a very beautiful blue and it had like texture and stuff like that. So this is my question to anybody out there. If you're an artist who does this kind of art, I respect you. First of all, I'm not coming at anybody, but I'm just saying for the people who don't understand this type of art and why it's presented so prestigious.
Yeah, that's the right way to say it. Yeah. Prestigiously.
I feel like there's something that I'm missing.
Yeah.
Because it's there for a reason.
Yeah.
And just because people say, oh, I could have done that, it's not about that, I don't think. I don't think it's about I could have done it, so why is it here? I think there's something else that I would love for someone to explain to me why it's there. Because I'm tired of always saying that, because I've been saying it. Like, you go to a museum, you see something, you're like, oh, I could have done it. That's kind of like ignorant.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't like that I think that. So please, DM me.
I don't think you're the only one that thinks that.
Huh?
I don't think you're the only one that thinks that.
No. I'm not saying that I'm the only one. Many people think that.
There were some.
But there's something that we're all probably not getting, is what I'm saying. I'm open to understanding that.
Yeah.
So if you work at an art museum, if you're this type of artist, please DM me. Let me know what's going on.
There were some things that I was like, you can tell, like, there was, I don't know, for me, like, for art in that way, I expect, if I go to a museum, the art that I see, I expect that art to be, you can tell through the piece that there's skill involved. Like somebody had to be able to do this level of art.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole, like, I feel like I could have made this thing, I think is valid. Because, I don't know, for me, it's like, I want to see, if I go to a museum, I want to see art that I think is like, it took experience and exploration and effort and time and whatever and learning to get to this level of artistry for someone to create this piece. So when I see something that's like three lines and it's in a museum and it says blah, 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 and like, ooh, the line, la, 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 and I'm just like, bro, this is just three lines.
I hear you. I understand where you're coming from, and I agree. But I feel like I want to hear the other part. I want to hear why it's actually
the only
there.
Argument that I think someone could have for that is like, if that piece is from the early start of someone who is now big in their career, it's like, oh, this is something that they made before, like, they were famous.
Or like, maybe that was like the first piece that they ever made.
Yeah, something like that. Because there was like some Andy Warhol like works in there, but some of the work that was in there was like not Andy Warhol as we know him now. And like the art that he like is famous for, it was very different. And it was like, all right. You know?
So I think
so
like,
some things are also there, I guess, more like historically rather than it being like a piece of art, you know?
Or even good.
That's what I'm saying.
It's just because this famous person now, this was their first piece, which gives that piece so much meaning.
I guess.
It probably costs so much too.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily good.
Exactly.
It's just, this is what Yoni Kodo did when he first started.
For me, my problem is more like the description.
Not me using my own name.
Yeah, right. For me, it's more, completely ignore that. For me, it's more like the description of certain work that I found so kind of like, I kept asking myself, like, why is this here?
Yeah,
you know,
it was
and
a
then
specific...
it would describe, and I feel like it would add meaning to things that aren't there. You know, it's like these lines are so expressive, really
elegant,
really,
line.
Really, no, like emanating this directional, cultural, transitional, like all these things that I'm just like, bro, it's just lines. Like,
okay,
just
but wait, I just want to tell people, most of the museum was amazing. It was a specific section that was kind of hard to understand.
Well,
this is what we're
that.
Talking about.
Yeah, there was also the main exhibit, because most museums is they'll have like their collection that doesn't really change very often, and then they have like a rotating or ever-changing like main exhibit, which changes, I don't know, like every few months or something like that, or maybe like every year, I don't know. But the one that was there right now is called the Dollhouse, I think, by this American artist, actually, I'm pretty sure. And I really didn't like it.
The Dollhouse.
Yeah. It was like the first.
Oh, is that the one with the knees?
Yeah, like the knees and like all this weird, like kind of like sexual things and like uncomfortable, like weird, like just weird. It almost made me feel like this person is just creating stuff that's weird just to make you uncomfortable.
But maybe what you're describing right now is exactly what they wanted you to feel.
I guess, but to me that's not like you're just wanting a reaction.
I know, but to him that's a success.
Her.
Oh, her, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. And that's kind of like how the thing started. But I would say, though, the museum as a whole is quite beautiful. Like, the building in itself is a piece of art, the way that it is, you know, designed. And then also the garden is beautiful. And then they have this cafe there. We didn't end up actually eating at the cafe, but it has a really beautiful view. It's right on the water. So all in all, I'm glad that we went.
I'm glad that we went. And also,
it's just the modern art thing that sometimes I'm just like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, the outside was really nice. Everybody was kind of just like laying on the really beautiful grass. Everybody was just tanning.
And that grass was just delicious. It's like delicious. Have you ever seen delicious grass?
Well, it was well maintained.
Yeah, it was like out of Severance. If you ever watched Severance, it was perfect like that.
Yeah.
I want to touch on... First of all, I would say we got so lucky with the weather when we were there.
Mm-hmm.
People were saying that this is not usually what Copenhagen is like. Most of the time, it's cloudy, kind of rainy, gloomy. All 4 days we were there, it was beautiful, sunny, warm,
blue
10 out
sky.
Of 10. Yeah, blue sky.
I haven't seen a single cloud.
It wasn't until the day that we were leaving in the morning to travel that it was cloudy and windy. And
actually it rained.
Oh, it rained on the last day when we were like biking home. But I'm going to just say that the wind, I didn't know this was going to be a thing, but the first day we were in Copenhagen, it was windy. Like, I have never experienced wind in my life. Like, the gusts of wind would just come out of nowhere. Like, it was constantly windy, but then out of nowhere, it would just be like someone just blew on the city.
Yeah.
You know?
I remember there was this one spot where we stopped and get a bit,
croissant.
Like a croissant and stuff like that. And I went inside to grab something or go to the bathroom. I can't remember. But then there was a big window where I could see Alia waiting outside. And the coffee was already there. The croissants was already there on a cute little plate. And then I look over at Alia and she's like holding down, putting pressure on the croissant from the top. Because if you didn't do that, that shit would blow in the water.
I mean, I don't know if it would have blown away. I just didn't want to take the chance.
It would have blown away. Trust me.
Yeah. Like that croissant would have easily. It's so airy and light.
Yeah.
That
shit would have been in the air.
Yeah, it was so windy that first day. It kind of felt like there was a constant just like buzz because you could hear like in your ears.
Kind of makes you tired,
and,
right?
Yeah, we were very tired the first day.
Because the whole day you're just fighting against the wind.
Yeah, it felt like.
Like you just,
and
just
I was like,
damn,
like why do I have a headache just like constantly?
Yeah.
So that was the first day. But overall, I would say like the weather we got was amazing. It made being in Copenhagen so fun, getting to like bike and experience the city. And also the days are so freaking long there.
They are.
It's like sunrise is at 4:30 in the morning and then sunset is at like 11.
Yeah, I know. But then it feels like it never... I remember one time I got up in the middle of the night. You might have been like, no, this is actually maybe before I went to bed, but it was like midnight or 1 a.m. and we were both in the living room. And I look out the window, at the kitchen window.
Oh, yeah.
And you could see it's still not pitch black out.
Like, no, it's dark, but there's a line of sun that you could see.
Yeah, you could still see the sun.
Yeah. That's weird.
Just like, damn, I've never seen the sun.
Yeah, I've
this
never
time.
Been that like far north. So that's very cool. But so that also means that it's very, very short days in the wintertime.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which that's no fun.
Like 3 hours.
Yeah. So what did you want to talk about?
No, I wanted to say, let's talk about the main reason.
Oh.
Then we went to Copenhagen.
Okay? Is the main reason my food?
Food, of course.
Okay, point the mic to your face. Is like you only talks with his mic pointing to the wall.
But I sound just fine. You're
I just want to make sure you sound the
I
best.
I sound good. Trust me, I'm editing this shit.
Okay. Well, yeah, the thing that made me want to go to Copenhagen in the first place is Stop making fun of me. Is the bear. Long story short, it's the bear. Okay. After watching the bear in season two, I think, when Marcus went to Copenhagen.
Can't believe that's why we went.
He went. Okay. No.
Because of the bear. You didn't tell me that part.
That's the idea spark where it came from. Okay.
Jesus, the bear. Y'all.
And in the bear, Marcus goes, if you've never watched it, that's a TV show on Hulu or FX. He goes to Copenhagen for like a couple days or so, and he is basically stodging at this restaurant, and he's like learning a bunch of things in Copenhagen about like baking and food and stuff like that. And then in the third season, they keep mentioning Copenhagen for this restaurant, even though it's not Noma. It's like another restaurant similar to Noma. If you don't know, Noma is like one of the best restaurants in the world. Not necessarily top one right now, but it's just known for like...
It's top five.
For culinary or gastronomy exploration. Like they do a lot of like foam and like spears and weird shit like that, you know? But long story short, that's kind of what attracted me to Copenhagen in the first place. Because, you know, I'm a big foodie. I love all things food, food culture. So I was very excited. And I would say,
there we go. That's what I was trying to get to.
That my favorite part of like the food that we had has to be the bakeries. The bakeries, the Ooh. Bread, like every single one of those things that fall in the baking bread category has been amazing. 10 out of 10. Like breakfast, coffee.
Ooh, breakfast is so good.
Breakfast is so good and so simple.
Yeah, so good, so simple. What's that place called where they had those big, colorful, heavy breakfast
plates? Studio X Kitchen.
Studio X Kitchen in Copenhagen. Yeah. Oh my God. We had breakfast there twice.
We had
Usually when we
twice.
Go somewhere, we don't do the same spot twice.
Yeah, and we weren't going to do it. We originally, like for the second time, we biked to another spot, but they already like stopped doing breakfast because I think it was like 11 a.m. And then Studio X Kitchen was right there. So we're like, okay, might as well go a second time because it was so good.
It's not a bad idea.
No, it was so good. So simple. I'm actually...
The eggs were so good. And then also too, it came with...
Focaccia.
Focaccia. And there was a third thing.
Caesar salad. It was like a wedge of romaine lettuce with Caesar dressing on it.
Amazing.
And a whole lot of Parmesan.
Amazing.
It was so good.
Not even amazing, just amazing.
No, it was so good. The interior is really nice. I'm going to do a whole... I'm really trying to like get more into my Substack. I'm trying to make much more time for it. I'm trying my best. So
I think that would be so good if you did that.
I will be putting out like a Copenhagen... like post about places we loved, what we got, what we didn't like in certain places. And yeah, so that's going to be out at some point, hopefully soon if I can get to that as well. And also I still have to post the Copenhagen video. I haven't even edited that yet.
What was your favorite plate that we had that you ate? Like if you could think about one thing you ate.
I'll start with my favorite like singular item.
Oh, wait. Are we going to talk about the cinnamon rolls? I mean,
that's what
rolls.
I was going to say. My favorite singular item has to be the cardamom bun from Juno Bakery. You guys. Oh, my God. That shit was like the best. One of the best pastries, if not the best pastries
Why
I've ever had.
Why didn't we buy like 10 and just bring them over here?
I don't know. But that was... I wonder if it would be really expensive to like ship them. I am curious.
I don't think they deliver internationally.
So in New York, we have La Cabra, which is originally from Copenhagen. It's a coffee shop, and they also have cardamom buns. And that's like where most people in New York get their cardamom buns. And now that I've had them in the mother, even though apparently they're not from Copenhagen, but either way, now that I've had them in Copenhagen, I'm just like, La Cabra, you guys need to do some tweaks over here in New York because they bake them too much. They're a little bit too dry.
The cinnamon...
Cardamom.
Cardamom buns at La Cabra, I think they're still very good.
They're still very good.
Yeah, they're still very good. We're not shitting on it.
But I'm just saying, like...
But I'm just saying, like, the
these
one...
These ones that we had in Copenhagen, they were, like, perfectly,
they
like,
were
just
so good.
Baked.
Yeah, they were way
like,
better.
They could have been taken one more minute and it would have been too much.
Yeah.
It was, like, crispy on the outside, moist on the inside, perfectly sweet, glazed, like...
And not too sweet.
And there was,
either.
Like, so much braid that when you bite into it, like, yeah. You can taste, like, you can feel the texture of each layer.
Yeah, exactly. But see, I wasn't eating it like that. Like me,
that's
when
so
I
weird.
When I eat that, I just kind of I unbraid it.
You guys.
So like I unbraid.
I feel
the
like
whole
that's
thing.
Like for, like I don't even know what you call like criminal to do.
No, why?
The whole point is to like bite into the layers, not to peel the layers.
Well, I like to peel the layers and just eat the strings.
Yeah, I know you do. I know you do. So that would I would say that was my favorite bite. And then when it comes to like my favorite. Meal or like thing that we ate, I don't know, what keeps coming to mind to me is this very simple savory waffle that we had at this place called Apotec 57.
That's like when it was really hot, right? That one day?
No, it was when I thought I broke my camera, remember?
Oh yeah. Oh, that day was rough.
We had two waffles, but this one was like a breakfast waffle, and it was just the waffle with an herb sauce and then an egg right on top. And I don't know. I need to figure out, experiment at home, what this herb sauce was, because it just was incredibly like simple, but so delicious. Yeah, that. Also love how the breakfast in Denmark, not Denmark. Yeah, Denmark. Yeah. I'm like, is yeah. that the country?
You're like, where's Copenhagen?
Because I get confused, like Denmark, Danish, and then there's like the Netherlands. You speak Dutch. That Dutch and Danish like confuses me.
Okay.
Anyways. Oh, but then yeah, we also had another waffle at this restaurant called Bar.
Yeah.
And then it came
I like
with,
that spot a lot. The guy was really nice that was helping us.
The guy was nice. Yeah. And that, if you guys want to like actually see and learn more about all the food stuff that we had, I will, as I said, make a post about it eventually. So stay tuned for that. But the only thing I would say I was let down by is I feel like we should have gone to more, we couldn't eat more than twice a day somehow. Because we didn't wake up early enough every day to like have breakfast and then be enough hungry for dinner and then for lunch and dinner.
Yeah.
So we only ate technically like brunch and dinner. So there weren't as many places we went to as I wanted. Like I wanted, there was so many other places on the list.
There was a lot of places.
Like there was this chicken spot I wanted to go to that we didn't get to go.
You want to ask me what my favorite bite was?
Oh yeah. What was your favorite bite? Sorry.
Well, there was this thing. What do you call this?
Oh, this was Yoni's big discovery this trip.
What do you call this?
It's beef tartare.
Yes.
There's beef tartare on like every menu, I feel like.
It is so good. And I just wish, because they always give you so little. Like they don't give you a lot of
because
that.
Because it's not meant to be a lot.
It's not meant to be. But me, like honestly, I would literally eat a whole bowl of that. Just give me a big spoon and this and I'm straight.
But that's like a lot of raw meat.
So?
I don't know.
No, it was great. It was amazing.
It's also usually like the beef quality has to be like high for it to be eaten raw.
Yeah.
So it's usually more expensive. Oh.
And also we had this pizza. I think it was like pesto-ish, right?
Was it like a sausage type of thing.
And it was kind of spicy a little bit, I remember.
Yeah, and it was covered in Parmesan. This place that you're showing me right now on your phone is called Surt, S-U-R-T. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like in the West neighborhood.
You have
of
a specific
Copenhagen.
Skill, which I think is very special, is that you remember every place.
I remember because I just did a roundup on my Instagram of all the Copenhagen places we went.
Still,
so I was just looking at this.
Imagine going on vacation and you remember each spot. Oh, this lunch spot is called this. And then dinner is called
job.
That.
Think about it.
Okay, I get it, you know, but shit, it's like...
I'm like trying to make it part of my job to like know all these things.
Yeah. I was really happy, you know, I was really happy.
Oh, you're really happy?
Yeah, I was really happy with the food that we got there. I did get sick towards the end of the trip, you guys.
Yeah.
And it's been rough.
You're just now feeling better.
I'm just now, 2 weeks later, I had like a stomach bug.
Yeah.
Stomach virus, whatever you call it, right? But we went to a place. I'm not going to say the name of the place. But I had, and I know, and Alia thinks it's not because of that, but I had white asparagus.
It's not why. You just associated with white that because asparagus. That's what you ate right before you got sick.
I had white asparagus, and the moment I ate that, I felt bad.
Yeah, it wasn't that. Because you can't eat something, and 10 minutes later, you feel that bad.
Well, shit, I did, right? I did.
But it's not because of that. It might have been the tartare, honestly. It's raw meat.
And also, that place, every single item on the menu had asparagus, which I guess is a big thing in Copenhagen.
No, it's also just because that place is a seasonal menu. Like their big thing is whatever's in season is what we're going to serve.
So asparagus is not necessarily like in the Copenhagen.
I mean, maybe, staple. But in general, like right now, asparagus is in season, which is why they had like 6 dishes of asparagus, which I thought was kind of crazy.
Everything like, had asparagus in it.
You can't have 6 dishes on a small wine bar menu and they're all with asparagus.
Yeah, and I don't even like regular asparagus. So I was down to try the white asparagus. It was good.
It was thick.
It was delicious. It was good.
It was pretty good, yeah. I want to talk real quick about the, if you want to hear more about Yoni's adventure, we did a whole Patreon episode, a couple weeks ago that was all about
how I got,
like what happened,
yeah,
what you've been dealing with, cause he was down bad. So we talked all about that. If you want to check that out, it's on Patreon. But I wanted to quickly touch on the fashion because Copenhagen has a very specific kind of like in the fashion world, especially I think for women's fashion. There's Copenhagen Fashion Week. That's actually, it's not like as big, obviously, as the main ones, you know, Milan, Paris and New York, but it's like second tier, like B level. And there's some big Copenhagen fashion moments, such as if you don't know. They kind of made it a thing to wear flip-flops, specifically Havaianas, which are the ones that I have, with, like, everything.
Did they make it?
Like, yeah, it's very much in Copenhagen style. Like, it's a thing on TikTok where people are wearing Havaianas flip-flops, like, in New York with their jeans. And then it's, like, someone writes on the screen, like, little do people know here in New York that I'm wearing my Havaianas in like a Copenhagen cool girl way.
Okay.
Because in New York, someone would be like, damn, you got your feet out like that? You know, because it's like a thing.
Oh, right.
That you're like so close to the ground. But yeah. What did you think about the fashion? Was there anything that like stood out to you in Copenhagen?
I thought that the women there had really, really nice style.
I do think
like the guys,
women,
it was just kind of whatever.
Yeah.
But the women there can really, really dress.
But it was quite simple.
It's very simple, but it's also just like, you can tell that everyone had like, not everyone obviously, but like a lot of people had just nice style.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the men there, I didn't really notice anything.
Yeah, I feel like I saw
particular.
A lot more like women fits, like girls on bikes, like.
Oh, yeah.
That had just nice outfits. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought about that. But it wasn't, the fashion there also didn't stood out to me as much
didn't
as it did
stand
in like.
Out. Didn't stood out?
Oh, it didn't stand out to me as much as like it did in like.
Seoul.
Yes, yeah, Seoul, like, or Tokyo, you know, it's like, it's very just...
It's very chill. General, chill. Yeah. Yeah, like, everyday type shit. Like, nobody's doing, like, a lot.
Yeah. Exactly.
But like, that's so my style. So, for me, I was really, like, taking note. I was like, oh, this is nice. But definitely a lot of flip-flops. Like, big time, a lot of flip-flops.
How come men can't pull that look off? Like,
men just don't have cute feet.
You like, know, is it because we have bigger feet that we can't wear these flip-flops and jeans? And because I think we can also, I think.
You can also participate?
Yeah. Like, and I think it does look good. Actually, I did that. I have like this one photo from 2010.
Okay, yeah. So.
I had like jeans. tank top and like these
there's
little
flip-flops. There's something so cute about like women's feet with like their little pedicures.
No, I do.
And
I do agree.
They're wearing that, but then they have like it's cool to wear. It's a nice. What I like about the flip flop is that it does exactly what I think my general approach to getting dressed is. That like if I do something that's a little bit more like dressy, I will always balance it out with something casual. You know, and that's why, like, if you do like a more like dressy top or like dressy pants or something like that, and then you put a flip flop on, it balances it out nicely where you're like right in the middle. Because I never like something to feel too dressy or too casual.
Yeah.
The same way that like if you have a casual thing, but then you put on a leather shoe or something that's a little bit more dressy on the bottom, then it like balances it out and it's not the most casual, you know? So I like that about the flip flop. And
yeah, I don't think I'll do the flip flops, but I do think that I actually agree with you. Women, this is just like I'm just gonna leave that for.
I have seen it online though that guys are trying to like make it work. I think it just depends on the feet you got.
Yeah, exactly. You gotta have nice feet.
Yeah, I think we need to tell this story to close it out. We need to talk about the people, okay?
Oh yeah,
we have to.
Well,
talk.
We have two things to talk
about.
Well,
yeah, and then we'll go into that one. Okay. I have a whole strategy. Just follow along.
Okay, cool. You got it all down. All right.
No, so Yoni has this story that he wants to tell you guys because before we recorded this episode, he was like, I don't know, like what I want to say in the Copenhagen episode because like I want to be honest, but I don't want to like upset anyone.
I don't want to upset anyone. I don't want to like sound.
Judgmental
or anything like that. But I have to say, this was my experience, okay? So even if you listen to this and you're from there, this was my experience. I'm not making this shit up.
And you can't not talk about, like, of course, you're going to talk about, like, the weather, the architecture, the food, like, the vibe, all the things that a city brings. But you also have to talk about the people.
Yeah. And I know that this is, I'm not generalizing, but this is just a few examples of what happened to me, and I'm trying to understand why this happens, what's going on, because I don't get it, okay? So, Ali and I were biking somewhere, and then we leave our bikes, the Lime bikes, right? We park them. You know how you can just randomly, you got to find a good spot to park them, right? So, Ali parked hers, and then I parked mine in front of a tree. But in front of that tree, there was another bike. That was a regular bike. That was like a local's bike. And he parked it up against the tree.
Yeah.
I come up and put my Lion bike in front of his bike.
Yeah.
But there was still space for him to get his bike out.
And also, when you parked that bike, he wasn't there.
Oh, yeah. He wasn't there.
You parked the bike and then you were waiting for me to park it.
Right.
And you like walked away from the bike.
So I remember thinking like, wow, what if that person came right now? I would probably move it so it'll be just a little bit easier for them.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, I kind of just, you know, did my thing, logged out of the app, and then the guy comes.
Perfect timing, you
know. Perfect timing. The guy comes, and then I kind of walked away already from the bike.
Yeah.
So then I see him trying to get to his bike, and he's trying to, like, find a right angle to take it out, which wasn't even that hard, honestly.
Yeah, and I was actually close to him, too. So then you come back around.
Yeah, so I come back around, and I just, I grabbed the bike. You know, the electric bikes are a little bit heavier than the normal one. So I tried to, like, move it a little bit.
To make space for him to take out the bike.
To make space so it's easier for him to get this bike out of the parking spot, whatever.
And
right?
I think you said something like, "Excuse me,
I say, "Oh, sorry, I'll just move it to make it easy for you." I said something normally, like, you know, I was feeling good that day. The sun was shining. I was good.
Yeah.
And then he kind of just like looks at me, and
with
kind
like this blank look, a little
blank
bit.
Look, but also kind of like mean mugging me
kinda
a little
like,
bit.
Why are you talking to me?
Like, why are you talking to me? Who are you? I didn't need help. I don't need help.
Yeah.
What are you? It was
like,
all
what are you
these
doing,
things.
Like even interacting with
yeah.
me. It felt that way.
It
and I was right there, so
that,
I
right?
saw his face
and he looked
exactly
twice.
Looking at you. Yeah.
What were you thinking?
I was
in the
like,
moment?
Maybe he doesn't understand English, which I doubt it, because he was like a young guy.
But even if you don't understand English.
But then it was so clear, like you were just trying to move it out of the way so he could have space.
And I didn't have to do that. I could have just left and be like, all right, cool, he's gonna figure it out, right? But I came back, nice guy that I am, you know, let me make it just easier for him, you know? And then I even said it with a smile too.
Yeah.
And then all that happened and I was like.
And that just left Yoni feeling some type of way.
And I was like, damn, man.
Because that's one thing that Yoni really does not like is when people are just not nice.
Not nice.
For no reason, too.
But especially when you're doing something nice to them. And I'm not expecting a hug. You know, when I do something nice for someone, I'm not expecting you to, like, it's whatever. I chose to do that.
Yeah.
But, like, if someone goes out of their way to do something for me, like, me personally, I would say thank you. I would smile. I would say something, you know, like, just chill.
Yeah.
Because I know there's people who also say that don't expect people to be nice to you just because you're nice to them.
Okay.
That's also a real thing that exists. And I kind of agree. But I'm just not, I'm just not like that. And I really
like, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that because it's not that hard to just be nice.
It's not that hard. But also too, like
I'm not, and also being nice is like to a certain like simple level of just acknowledging.
Yeah.
Like, oh, thank you.
Yeah, be nice.
Simple shit, you know? It's like when I'm on the subway, I bump into someone, I say sorry. I'm not just like acting as if they're not there.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but it's like that doesn't cost me anything. That doesn't cost that much energy.
Well, to some people, maybe it costs something.
So was there another instance? Oh, yeah, at the film store.
Well, yeah, so that guy basically with the bike, that's what happens. He left. And that stayed with me for a minute because I just kept trying to understand, did I come off like too aggressive? Like, did I not? Like, I was really trying to figure out what happened. And this guy just, you know, so I was like, damn. And that was like my first interaction with someone who's from there.
Yeah.
You know, so I was just like, damn, okay, whatever. Kept on, you know, just having my day. We went and grabbed some food, whatever. But the second incident happened. We went to the film store and I ran out of film rolls.
So you were going in there just to buy film?
Yeah, yeah. So I was buying just to buy some film. And then I say, hey, I would love to have a Portra 400 or a Portra 800. And then he gives it to me. I pay for it. And then he's like, okay, you can also get it developed here if you want. And then I'm like, oh, no, thanks. I live in New York. I get it developed at the lab there so I can just also pick up the negatives. Because if I get it developed in Copenhagen, the negatives will stay in Copenhagen and yeah. have to pick them up physically.
Yeah.
But by that time, we would already leave.
Yeah.
And it's important for me to have the negatives. So basically, I explain all this to him, right? And then he just looks at me like, oh, like, I don't even know what he said.
He was like, okay, well, it would only take 24 hours.
Yeah, he said, but it will only take 24 hours. And I was just like, no, I'm okay.
But it's like the way that he was like talking.
Like, I don't want you to scan my photos here. I don't want you to, because I also don't know how they do it.
Yeah.
I don't know how they, I love how my lab does it here. That's it.
Yeah. But it was just the way that he was like, so like, but you can do it here too. Like, okay, like, I don't want to. Fuck.
I don't want to. Okay. And then he, very dry energy, just no emotion.
And I felt passive aggressive a little bit.
I felt like I was talking to like an AI human. It was weird.
I feel that. I get that.
So anyways, he gives it to me. He seemed very disappointed. I paid him and then I left. And then I'm thinking like, okay, what's going on here? Is this just the incidents that the interactions that happened to me? Or is this like just a thing here that people are just not nice to like happy,
yeah, just outgoing, in general, like people don't really like smile at each other. Like people didn't really seem very approachable, even though I would say like service, whether we went to like a restaurant or something like that, people were very nice.
Yeah.
So in that sense, it was great. But on the day-to-day type shit, it was, why did my voice just crack?
On the day-to-day?
But this brings us to the very final topic of this episode,
which is my favorite part of the show,
which is the meetup that we had in Copenhagen. Sorry.
I'll hear randomly sing sometime.
Yeah, the meetup that we had in Copenhagen. Shout out to everybody that was there. If you're listening to this right now, if you were there, leave a comment right now on the Spotify, because I know you're listening to this on Spotify. And if you're not,
it was so cool. It was amazing. It was really, the meetups are becoming, I feel like we got to just do it.
No, we have to do it everywhere we go.
Yeah.
We have to devote like one evening. It's like not even that much because like people can't really hang out for that long. You know, everybody got shit to do. So it's like two or 3 hours of just hanging out.
Right. I was feeling, so I was going through like my sickness or whatever. So Alia from the restaurant, she went to the meetup by herself.
To just meet people there.
To meet up with the people at 7 p.m. at the Boy with the Swan at King's Garden. Beautiful park.
Yeah.
Also, we got to talk about the parks.
Yeah, the park was very beautiful, even though people said, like, that's the most touristy one.
Yeah, no, but there's, like, many other parks.
Yeah, but that park, like, is very nice.
If you look at the map, there's a lot of green spots.
Yeah.
You know, so we met at the Boy with the Swan, and I joined them later because I went home. I had to see, like, what's going on with my
Yeah, we were there for about, like, 30 minutes, maybe 20, 25.
Yeah, so then I text Ali. I said, I'm good to go. I'm feeling better because something about biking kind of just gave me, like, fresh air, you know? Yeah. So I biked there. They were already sitting down in a big circle. And we were just talking,
you know?
Yeah, I just joined the party. How was it? How was it when you were there just by yourself?
It was good. I mean, as I said, you know, I need to stop calling myself like not a social person because I was feeling good. I was talking. I was asking people questions. I actually told them about the whole like bike incident thing.
And I was just
asking them like what their experience is like when it comes to like making friends in Copenhagen. Is that something that's hard? Is it easy? There were some girls that were there that weren't actually from they weren't Danish or from Copenhagen. They had moved there like either for school or for a job. And they were telling me about their experience and how it's very common for people to be sort of like cliquey and only be friends with the people that they like grew up with. A lot of friends are friends with people that have known them their entire life type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, so you don't like ever meet people that you just met now, you know? And then they're like, what do you mean? And I was like, you know, like in your adult life, like you don't have any friends from your adult life. All the friends that people have are from when they were like kids or in high school or like something like that.
Wow.
And I found that super interesting. I'm just saying what I heard from the people that came to the meetup, you know. But then there was the people that have moved to Copenhagen that said it's actually really difficult to make friends there because everybody's so like closed off. And also people just like never respond. Like even if you meet someone, they might be really nice to your face and they might be really like, yeah, we should do something, like let's say at work or whatever. But then when it comes to actually following through to hang out outside of that work or that school or whatever, people just don't respond and they just never hang out. You have to like chase people to like hang out and hang out with you. So I thought that was interesting. And that's something that I would have a hard time with because most of my friends that I have now are friends that I've made in the last like 2 years.
Yeah.
2-3 years. So
good friends too.
Yeah, good friends too. I feel like it's so special to like have friends that have like you met them now and they've met you now. It's not like you're friends because you've just known each other your entire lives. And like, that's so like, damn, there's so many people out there and you're only going to stick with the people that you've known your whole life.
I know, right? It's kind of crazy.
It's kind of crazy. But yeah, the meetup was great. Got to meet everybody. Talked about different things, their experience, our experience, what we loved, what we didn't like about Copenhagen, which is basically everything that we said in this episode. And yeah, we'll definitely keep the tradition whenever we travel to. We have some traveling plans that we're already like trying to figure out
for the
rest of the year that are going to be big travel. Like this, like traveling to Europe is kind of just like, not that it's whatever, it's still fun, but you know, it feels so like familiar and like we go there every year. So we're about to go back there like in August, but that's more of like a family trip thing. So we're probably not going to do
a
meetup. Damn, should I do a meetup in Romania? Maybe.
Yeah,
it'd be kind of fun. But then I have to get like my Romanian in check. But we have some very, very, very exciting trips that we're planning for like end of the year. That you guys are going to be very excited about.
And you can kind of predict it if you kind of just...
Yeah, we've been hinting at it a little bit, but
no, you can't say it
but
yet.
But there's two places, actually. There's two places, so I'm throw you off
one,
with that one.
One is going to throw you off completely.
Yeah.
One is going to complete, but the other one, you could see it coming.
Okay, babe, now you're just going at
Okay. But I just wanted to say thank you so much to everyone who attended the meetup. Okay.
Yeah.
I want to give a shout out to, I forgot your name, the one person who spoke French there.
Oh, there was only one person?
Yeah. Oh, two. I guess two people.
Yeah, I thought there was more than one that you were talking to.
It was nice to speak French in Copenhagen. It felt so out of place.
Yeah.
You know? But
Yoni always gets excited anytime someone speaks French. He's always like, oh, you're from France? And then he's like, oh, parlez-vous français?
No, j'ai dit, oh, vous parlez français? Ah, oui, whatever.
And then you start asking, like, where are you from? And la, la, la.
Yeah, because I don't get to speak French at all.
I get it.
So any moment I get to speak French or Dutch or whatever, I'm like, okay, let's go. And people are so thrown off by that in America. Because they're like, oh, wait, how?
Yeah.
But yeah, we're super grateful for everyone to just make time out of your day to come hang out with these two internet strangers.
That they actually know quite well.
Well, I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because when we meet people in person, it's like, I just want to ask you questions because anything I said about myself, you probably already heard on the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. And it happened every time where we would be like talking about something and then they're like, yeah, we know.
They would finish the story for me. I'm like, oh, shit, okay, cool. So super grateful. It was amazing.
It feels fun.
To us, it feels even more special than then you realize, you know, because for the people meeting us, it's like, oh, I've been listening to them since 3 years, 2 years, whatever. But to me, from my perspective, I'm like, this is so cool that I finally get to see who's listening.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Exactly. It's always like, you never know who's going to come, what their story is going to be.
How many people are going to come.
Yeah. No, it's awesome. So I'm down to do it. Everywhere we go,
same.
Get to meet people, see what the vibes are. It's super fun.
Yeah. And then also, too, I just love that people become friends after these.
Yeah.
They just hang out.
Yeah. We just bring in community, juicy community together.
Yeah.
That sounds weird. But we're going to close out the episode here, you guys. We are going to carry on with our Wednesday. We are recording this the same day that it's coming out.
So if you listen to this today on Wednesday, just think like an hour before this moment right now, we were recording this. So this is a fresh episode.
This is like the most live you're going to get other than if it was live. But yeah, hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your day, rest of your week. This is midweek. So yeah, you know, it's kind of like going up from here. I feel like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is kind of like the beginning of the week. But then you get past hump day, then you have Thursday, Friday. It's party time.
Yeah.
So I hope you have better weather than we're having in New York. The sun is kind of playing games tonight.
What?
Tonight. Whoa. The sun is kind of playing games today. It keeps coming in and out.
I'm like, what are you talking about?
That makes no sense. And I'm about to go meet my friend at a coffee shop and do some work there together.
I'm feeling better right now.
That's good.
I just got to eat. Right now, the big thing for me, I need to eat some like good protein.
Yeah.
I'm going to make like a tuna salad.
As soon as we got back from Copenhagen, we got back to New York, Yoni was on a strict rice diet.
Yeah, rice diet, toast. My appetite was just not there.
Do you think that because you were eating so much rice, you kind of like lost the like appreciation for rice for a little bit? Like you kind of need a break from it? Because you haven't had any rice since then.
I'm good. I don't need that much rice right now. You guys, I eat a lot of rice.
I know. So what
I'm saying... And a lot of pasta too. But have you seen me how much pasta I ate like the last few days with the chicken on the side?
Yeah.
It's just like you can count the amount of pastas that was on my plate.
I mean, it was also like big chunks of pasta. Like,
I know, so
pasta
that's why you can like count them.
Big.
You know? And I kind of like that. It's just like, I just be eating, it's like too many carbs. It's like a lot of carbs. I don't need to do that.
I mean, you are a bigger guy, but I do think you need to eat, primarily you just need to eat more vegetables.
I mean, now anything...
Like, Yoni just forgets that vegetables are a category sometimes.
No. But honestly, right now and how I'm feeling and I'm like slowly recovering, at this point, I just need to eat anything.
Yeah, no, you...
You know what I mean?
Okay, the computer's about to die now, so we have to go.
Oh, shit, okay.
ASAP. Love you guys so much. Thank you for listening. Tak. Good night.
Oh, tak. Right, tak. I forgot about that. It's not tak, but it's there's almost like a S, tak. Tak, no?
Tak?
I don't know.
Like it's...
No, it's tak.
No, I think it's tak. Yoni's making shit up now. Okay, bye, guys.
Oh, man. Bye. What a great episode today, y'all. Chilling. These audio episodes are like over an hour every single week. I don't know if people listen to these all the way.
Let us know if you listen.
If you got to the end of this episode, please say...
Doc.
White asparagus.
Okay.
Okay? That's it.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.